I'm going to call this meeting of the Energy Policy Committee to order. We don't have a quorum, so we're not going to consider minutes. But Representative Roger Erickson is here to present his bill, and we can start with that. Representative Erickson, welcome to the committee. I will move House File... Oh, I can't move it because there's nobody here. We will hear from Representative Erickson about House File 2866. Welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Madam Chair. House File 2866 is just a quick bill to figure out if we can use natural gas in certain large-scale users, especially in the ag industry, for drying their crops in the fall. And possibly replace some of that 40% of the propane that's going to be lost when the pipeline switches. So it's just requesting a study from the Legislative Energy Commission and to see if there is possibilities that exist for doing that.
Thank you. Is there anybody here to testify in favor of or opposed to House File 2866? I listened to Senator Scoy's testimony on this, and his rationale was that the I understand some of the natural gas fracking activity in North Dakota has to stop flaring sometime soon, and his thought process was that perhaps some of the excess natural gas that had been flaring, it would become cost effective for that to become a resource for the state of Minnesota after the new standard goes into effect to prohibit some of the flaring. And I think that it, you know, Senator Marty had some good comments on what the LEC is capable of and what we're not capable of. We're not capable of a full-blown market analysis of piping natural gas into northern Minnesota, but we definitely do have the ability with the Legislative Energy Commission budget to bring together stakeholders and get some information and find out what some options up in greater Minnesota might be on the potential solutions to the propane shortage and what we might be dealing with in the future. We have a quorum, members, so I will move that House File 2866 be laid over for possible inclusion in the energy omnibus bill. Representative Mazin.
Okay. Thank you, Madam Chair and Representative Erickson. I just want to say that about a week ago, one of my constituents said he knows it would be expensive, but isn't there a way we can get propane, natural gas to all the people that are using propane up north? So I'm thinking, yeah, you've done my job. Thank you.
Representative Erickson.
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. The houses are a little bit more spread out in northern Minnesota, and so it's a lot of the communities up to certain sizes are served with it. But it's when you leave those communities and go out that the infrastructure becomes pricey.
Representative Beard.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair. This is a fascinating area of interest, another one of my areas of interest. And I think the Ed Leonard's the LEC doing this overview anyhow would be useful to educating other legislators how this industry works and what's going on out there. One factoid to keep in mind is a distribution line to serve a neighborhood or a community is about $1 million a mile to build. That certainly enters into the economics of it that you're probably not going to get into at the LEC. But one of the things you may want to think about is as you hold this hearing, if you're looking for something to do after deadlines, having somebody come and talk about the whole problem with flaring in North Dakota would be quite enlightening, no pun intended, to the commission, because of all the things that are in there. You just can't throw it in a pipeline and sell it as LNG or CNG or any kind of NG. There's all kinds of other stuff in there that is creating part of the problem. I think there's some things we could learn from what we've done with right-of-way. I don't know if any of you members have ever served on a committee called the Suburban Rate Authority, which basically is about protecting rights of way for useful things like old gas lines and water lines and keep them from tramping on and tangling up with one another. I've actually had a served. I was going to say I was sentenced to that commission one time when I was on city council. But I actually served for 2 years on it. It was a fascinating committee for a geek like me to serve on. And North Dakota doesn't have anything like the Suburban Rate Authority that takes care of where everything is. At least it's as well developed as our system is. That'll be one thing, too, we can probably share with our friends in North Dakota that they could develop, which would make it easier to site and route collector lines. But another thought, and then I'll stop talking since we now have a quorum, can adopt an amendment and so on. Madam Chair, the marketplace, believe it or not, I know some of us don't trust the marketplace as much as others, such as myself do, but they're already finding the solutions. And there are grain elevators that have already switched to LNG, and they're already trucking it from Burnsville all the way into western Minnesota to get away from propane. Getting away from the propane, because they understand where the market's going. Propane's not coming back soon in quantities that it has been, and that's mostly a transportation logistics problem, not a supply problem. We got lots of propane, it's just in the wrong places. We have LNG, but we don't have easy ways to get it there unless we truck it, and those of us in Transportation Committee are probably going to want to pay attention to LNG trucks running up and down the highways. Whether or not it actually turns into a rail commodity is probably not going to happen soon. But more importantly, there are other ways to liquefy natural gas where it's needed. And so I see growth opportunities for some of our co-ops. And I know we've got the co-op guys sitting in the audience. They're already aware of this, that there are business opportunities here for our farmer co-ops to actually liquefy natural gas and replace propane on their own. Having said all that, the Legislative Energy Commission probably could do useful work to make the legislature more aware of what's happening and more informed on what's actually going on out in greater Minnesota when it comes to replacing propane with LNG and where it can and can't happen.
Thank you, Representative Beard. We do have an amendment in the packet to House File 2866, but since we're going to lay over the bill, we don't need to formally adopt the amendment. Mr. Eliff has just added a little bit more complexity to some of the factors that we might look at in the Legislative Energy Commission, some more angles on the issue that we probably need to look at. And so if members would have any feedback on the proposed amendment, we're going to be adding this language probably to the omnibus on Thursday morning, so getting feedback to us by Wednesday would be great. Any other discussion to House File 2866? Seeing none, thank you, Representative Erickson, with that.
Thank you, members, and Madam Chair.
We'll lay over your bill for possible inclusion. Do I have an amendment? Oops, sorry. I got our volume up loud today.
Next up on our agenda is House File 2603. Representative Hortman will move that House File 2603 be referred to the Committee on Commerce and Consumer Protection, Finance, and Policy. And I believe you have an amendment, Representative Hortman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I do. What my amendment would do is it would change. Right now, when we passed the energy assistance money at the very beginning of the legislative session, we appropriated $20 million for additional energy assistance for Minnesotans. It was motivated largely because of the propane crisis, but the $20 million is available to everybody, whatever their source of energy for heat in the winter. What we said when we passed that bill was that $20 million, if there was any excess that was not spent on energy assistance, that would cancel back to the general fund. And what my amendment would do is it would take the any excess and it would cancel it to the weatherization program. One of the ways we can prevent ourselves from getting into this pickle in the future is to reduce demand for delivered fuels. And so that's quite simply what my amendment does. And does it address the administrative expenses?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. What it also does, I think, although I'm not finding the language.
1.10.
There we go. Thank you. In the Minnesota Senate, they adopted an amendment, I think without a lot of debate and testimony, restricting the energy assistance to 5% administrative expenses, and the typical in state law was 10, and that's what has been, I think, in place for a really long time. The community action programs came forward after the Senate amendment passed and said, you know, that's a little tight. We don't really think we can actually do it on this. The House representatives decided to concur with the Senate and get the money out because the Department of Commerce was due to run out of money around March 1st. And if you might recall, the Senate wasn't working as expeditiously as we were. But rather than go to a conference committee and fight out this issue of administrative expenses in the conference committee and thereby hold up the $20 million, we decided to let that issue go and address it later in the legislative session. It's my understanding the Senate has now come to some understanding that maybe 5% is a little bit too tight. So my amendment would also change it from 5% to 8%.
All right. If it's okay with you, Representative Portman, I think we'll vote on your amendment, and then we can hear testimony on the bill and questions from members about the bill as amended. All right. All those in favor of the DE1 amendment, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, say no. Motion prevails. The amendment is adopted. All right. Representative Portman, anything else on your bill as amended at this point, or should we take testimony from the audience?
Yeah, let's see if there's any testimony for
against it. Let's see if there's any testimony for or against the bill, Representative Portman. Anybody from the audience? Thank you. Welcome to the committee, and please state your name for the record and share with us your testimony.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Patrick McFarland. I'm the executive director of Anoka County Community Action Program. I've been employed there since 1973, and I've been the director since 1978. So I've been an employee of the Community Action Agency during the Arab oil embargo. Arab oil embargo resulted in a lot of the programs that we're seeing today as it evolved, energy assistance, weatherization, response out of that. I'm here to speak in support of House File 2603, and then just tell you a little bit about the weatherization program. This program is started out as a employment program through the CETA, the old CETA days, and the labor was they provide the labor, and the materials were provided by the Community Services Administration and subsequently Department of Energy. That worked for a time, but then over the years the program has evolved into more of a fully funded DOE and Energy Assistance Transfer Program. There's a number of program models out there. For example, at ACAP, my employer, we have a complete contractor-based program. So we have private contractors that do the weatherization. They do the energy audits. They do the inspections. And we only have a half-time person in that program that works for ACAP. Everything else is contractor-based. So we're able to move up and down rather rapidly with the changes in funding by adding more contractors or deleting contractors when there's no resources. The program does an energy audit. Energy audits look at the computer program. They look at measures that have payback. And then we construct a work plan based on the energy audit. We send an auditor out into the house, and they work with the homeowner, do some education, and do measures such as insulation, tightening up houses, furnace repair and replacement. And then the crew is dispatched. They do the work. And then an inspector comes in and inspects the program. So because we're using these computer models now, we can really determine payback. And there's certain criteria for payback in what we do. I was specifically asked to talk about electrical bills, reducing electrical bills. And we run two SIP programs, one with Conexus and one with CenterPoint. The Conexus one specifically focuses on electricity, and what we're doing with the weatherization program is typically we're changing out all the incandescent bulbs with fluorescent bulbs. And then we're also doing some furnace replacement through energy assistance and the weatherization program. So with that and one-to-one counseling that the auditors and inspectors do, we can save the families approximately 50% on their electric bill. because we're putting Energy Star appliances in. We're doing changing the bulbs out. The furnaces are running less. The houses are more efficient. And so that has an impact on the electric bill. And in Minnesota, all the programs do that same thing. So even though they have different models of delivery, they're all doing those kind of measures. They're all doing the computer program. And I think we have a very good program. And the problem is it's just underfunded. And if we can get the funding where we need to, we can continue on. So with that.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. McFarland. Are there any questions for this testifier? Thank you very much, sir. Are there any other members of the audience who would like to testify for or against the bill?
It's always nice when there's no opposition.
Yeah. I'm just noticing that the author for the next bill on the agenda is not yet here, Madam Chair.
Who's the author like for the next bill?
Representative Garofalo is up next. So would you like to sing us a song?
Well, there's kind of a rule in committee. If you don't come, we don't vote for your bill, right? No, I think we can probably pinch hit for Representative Garofalo.
Okay.
So I would, did we vote on my amendment?
We did adopt your amendment. If you would.
I would renew my motion that House File 2603 be re-referred to the Committee on Commerce and Consumer Protection.
Representative Horvin renews her mention that House File 2603, as amended, be referred to the Committee on Commerce and Consumer Protection, Finance, and Policy. All those in favor say aye.
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 All those opposed, no. The motion prevails. Thank you, Representative Horvin.
Mr. Chair, I'm happy to move Representative Garofalo's bill. He probably knows it better than I do, but he has a testifier who knows it
better
than either one of us.
Wonderful.
So whatever the House file number is.
I will do that. Representative Hortman moves House File 2967 be re-referred to the Committee on Commerce, Consumer Protection, Finance, and Policy. There is an amendment.
And I would like to move the amendment if that's what the author likely wants to get his bill in the shape that he would like it to be. Mr. Eliff, do you know if that amendment is something that Representative Garofalo has requested?
Is that an author's amendment, Mr. Eliff?
Mr. Chair, I haven't spoke to Representative Garofalo about this amendment.
Representative Hortman?
I understand that perhaps Representative Beard is familiar with the amendment.
Representative Beard, are you familiar with this amendment?
Mr. Chairman, no, not I'm not. I'm on the bill as a co-author because I'm aware of the company and what they're doing for us, but I'm just looking at the amendment here and thinking that what it does is approved by the commissioner.
Mr. Chair, and
Representative Horton.
I think what we'll do is we'll deal with the amendment after we get a little testimony on the bill, and I think it may resolve a concern that that Excel has raised.
Sounds very good.
I will tell you what very little I know about this bill. Representative Scott.
Representative Scott.
Thank you. I just texted Representative Garofalo. He's on his way over.
Okay. Good. Well, should we just go ahead and get it started, and then maybe he can come in and jump in the hot seat. So,
Mr. Chair, I met with Mr. Meiser during the interim, and I strongly suggested that he get in touch with his state representative, Representative Beard, and our Republican lead, Representative Garofalo, to talk about his proposal because I thought it merited further consideration. And we've heard from Mr. Meiser in this committee before. He runs the software that helps us account for the energy savings from Minnesota's Conservation Improvement Program. And there's a rather unique partnership between the Department of Commerce and Mr. Meiser to develop this software in a way that we can all understand how much energy is being saved and at what cost. And so the bill would increase the assessment on utilities to fund the further development of this software. And I would invite Mr. Meiser to share some comments with us.
Mr. Meiser, welcome to the committee. Please introduce yourself and share with us your knowledge.
Thank you, Representative Hortman. Mr. Chair and representatives, thank you for this opportunity. My name is Mike Meiser. I'm the Executive Vice President, one of the owners of Energy Platforms. We are a small and growing software firm located in Shakopee, Minnesota. I can tell you this functionality is 100% developed by Minnesotans for Minnesotans. And really, it was at the advent of the modifications in SIP back in 2007, and also as a driver was the 2005 Legislative Auditor's Report, requiring a greater level of transparency and more accountability in the way that we track, measure, analyze, and look at public dollars being spent is what the driver of this was. This bill, House File 2967, will provide the annual funding needed to maintain and update the IT tools required by Minnesota utilities and the state to implement and oversee SIP and provide that transparency and accountability that's being asked for in our legislation. The other thing that this is going to do is, as we are transitioning from the R&D, we've had R&D funds out of the CARD grant, to the infrastructure investment to maintain this investment. As a little background to this, state of Minnesota, we now have over 180 utilities that are running over 2,300 programs a year. And over that period of time, we've typically had utilities all calculating their energy savings in very different methods. Our annual spending now has reached about $200 million a year. And so we have, there's been a recognition that we've had some serious data problems, and there's been a lot of duplication in the IT and the engineering done at every one of these utilities across the state. The Department of Energy Resources recognized this issue and opened up an RFP to be bid on. Our company, Energy Platforms, was successful at winning that competitive bid. And through from 2008 through 2014, we've been developing this functionality. The state of Minnesota has contributed about 56% to the cost of the development, and Energy Platforms has contributed close to 50% itself. There's really two key pieces of functionality that we've built: a central statewide reporting system, important for the state for the oversight, and then number two, these shared operational tools, tools for all the utilities so that they wouldn't have to do this on their own. On the reporting tool, this has become the system of record that's being used by all of our utilities to report their results data in since 2008. Previously, data had been locked in PDF documents, Excel spreadsheets, and we didn't have an ability to access that data. The key thing that the reporting tool allows us to do now is that we can go, for example, and find out what is the most cost-effective program being run across the state of Minnesota. We could find out which one maybe is the least cost-effective. So our utilities and the folks in the state can start asking questions of the data. The other thing that I think this is going to do, it's going to expose then what are the most cost-effective technologies or programs that our utilities can be running and can inform them to do a better job in their effort. And an item I like to call data-driven policy. This is going to give us feedback, real data, upon which we can start to communicate in this domain, communicate based on the data, the analysis, and the facts of the results data rather than what we think might be going on, but we're going to know that. So I think it's really going to have a positive impact on our SIP activities across the state. On the shared operational tool side, if I maybe give you an example of some of the standard calculators and how I think this is going to improve the richness and the accuracy of the data that we get. We know, for example, that as we were rolling out the reporting tool over the last 4 or 5 years, we had utilities up in the Iron Range who were literally tracking energy performance using little post-it notes on a stick, you know, sticky notes on their monitor. We had some utilities that had Excel spreadsheets, and of course some of the other utilities that had built their own systems. We now have shared calculators that actually have a defined and a standard way for everybody to calculate those savings. And they're available to use and easy to use tools for all of the utilities across the state of Minnesota. This kind of functionality, we actually made this voluntary for the utilities to adopt this. The thing I get excited by is within 3 months of having introduced these tools to 180 utilities, we already have a third of the utilities that are moving over to the platform this year. I think we'll have another 20 or 30. I think it's a testament to the functionality that we've built because we've stayed focused on what they need to help them do their work better. So 2967 is really going to do a couple of things. I think it's going to improve the delivery of the cost-effective programs for Minnesota consumers, businesses, nonprofits, and public building owners. And as we transition from the R&D to the IT infrastructure, we will improve our accountability, transparency, and provide that shared service model. One of the things that we've learned in this process that we need to do, we want to do a better job, we're going to formalize a mechanism that we work with the utilities so that we can ensure that we continue to stay focused on the enhancements that we're going to do on an annual basis, that we get feedback from the utilities that are using these tools. So finally, there's one last slide. in my some of the notes that you've seen there. And it's really some of the results that we've had to date, and I think it's actually just sort of astounding, and it's a testament to some of the good work by our utilities and the state policy, that if you look at for the first 5 years of SIP since those improvements in 07, we've invested about $884 million in the state of Minnesota. We've saved ratepayers over $3.8 billion for a little over a 400% return on investment. Just staggering. That's money that stays in the pockets of our ratepayers and our taxpayers. Estimates, if we continue on the path for the next 5 years that we spent here in 2012, we're going to see about $1 billion investment with about $4.3 billion in ratepayer savings, again, for another over 400% return on investment. So with that, I would be happy to take any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Meyer. Representative Beard.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. To that last slide, Mr. Meiser, and welcome to the committee, Mr. Mayor. It's good to see you here. And you know I'm partial to accurate data that actually tells us what we're doing. On this last slide, there's some spending that's accounted for, savings that are accounted for. Is there some place we could go to actually see what all machinations went into that calculation to see what is actually spending and what is actually savings and how that all works?
Yes, but I'm going to answer it in two ways. So there is it's a cloud-based system. It's accessible by anyone in the state of Minnesota, the utilities, staff, and be happy to give access to yourself as well. So that is available for somebody to go in and look at this data themselves. The other aspect of this, though, this is one of the benefits of the shared operating tools. The reporting data in the first 5 years of this program was as reported. So we didn't really know how they always calculated the savings. Now that we have these calculators that everybody's using, we know that. It's actually very easy for us to understand how the savings were calculated. So that's one of the reasons that we actually wanted to transition to this, so that we get good and better data. But it is available if you'd like.
Representative Beard?
Thank you. It's good to know.
Members, any more questions for Mr. Meiser? Thank you, Mr. Meiser, very much. Is there any other testimony?
If there's somebody here from Excel or anybody who expressed any concerns and worked with anyone on the amendment to speak to what the amendment accomplishes, I'm looking at you, Mr. Evans.
Is there a representative from Excel who can help us shed some light on the amendment?
Mr. Chair. And it may not be Excel, it may have been another utility.
Maybe. Welcome to the committee today. Please introduce yourself and help us out if you can.
Good afternoon. My name is Jim Pearson with Excel Energy. I think we obviously were working with Representative Garofalo and others, talking with other utilities too about the amendment, and I think it's a pretty straightforward amendment where as we work with the platform and the data, there are a couple of different ways to interface with that system. And so what we want to do by or the intent of the amendment is to give us a little bit more flexibility on getting our data into the system. And so I think it's a pretty straightforward amendment that creates that flexibility. And I think there has been discussion among other utility partners too in terms of the benefit of having that flexibility built into the law.
Representative Portman, any comments?
Well, Mr. Chair, I just have a question actually for the testifier, and that is, are there plans then for the utilities to have ongoing conversations with Mr. Meiser about the tool and what sort of increased functionality might come about from the increased investment?
Mr. Pierce.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, absolutely. This is an ongoing conversation. I think the language has, or the bill has another stop, if I heard your motion correctly, and through that process we'll continue to work with Mr. Meiser and others to make sure that we have peace in the valley.
Representative Portman, we still haven't moved the amendment yet. Technically, it's not before us. Would you like to do that?
I would like to move that amendment now that we know why it's in front of us.
Representative Portman moves the A1 amendment. Are there any other questions about the A1 amendment? All those in favor of the A1 amendment, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, say no. The motion prevails. The amendment is adopted. Thank you. Representative Portman, any other testifiers for or against the bill?
Mr. Chair, I don't know if the department wanted to comment on it or not. They're free to say something or not say something as they see fit at this particular juncture. As Mr. Pearson indicated, it does have one more committee stop, at least one more committee stop.
All right. I see nobody springing to the front table. Representative Beard.
Mr. Chair, I'm going to use my legislative prerogative to ask somebody to come up here.
Okay.
For a question, if I may. Mr. Chairman, I'd like to ask if Joel Johnson from MREA.
Oh, Mr. Grant, you're off the hook. Mr. Johnson. Mr. Johnson, welcome to the committee today. Thank you for coming.
Sorry.
Representative Beard.
Mr. Chairman, thank you, and Mr. Johnson, thank you. As you know, I'm all about data. We're all about good data. That goes without saying. And it appears to me in my visits with the constructor of this platform that this actually could give us some useful tools. However, I noticed that we're asking for some more money from a levy that commissioner or the deputy commissioner has the authority to levy, and we're going to bump that up a little more. Can you speak to us about the program as it's being used already by some of your member cooperatives, the money that they're spending there, and how this money gets passed along to the ratepayers? Maybe we just start with that.
Mr. Johnson.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Representative Burt, just for the record, I'm Joel Johnson for the Minnesota Rural Electric Association. The usage of the program and the database is actually mixed, and some use it entirely to put together their reports, their plans, and then for the reporting. Others use it on a partial basis. Some of the co-ops have invested in other software already. Mm-hmm. So it really has been kind of a mix. I will say that for many of the ones who have been using it, there are a number that it's actually been very useful and cost-saving for them. Okay. In terms of, how we pay for the assessment, we are owned by our members, so that comes directly out of the rates that we charge.
Representative Beard.
Mr. Chair, and perhaps when I saw Mr. Grant was going to speak, I'll ask him about his authority to levy that and how he divvies it up among the different electric utilities, too. I'd like to hear that from there. But I just wanted to hear from one of the associations that actually is going to be tapped to pay for this, and they're actually, some of their members are actually using it. I thought it would be useful for the committee just to hear some of that experience. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Beard. Before Mr. Johnson leaves us, Representative Scott, you have a question.
Thank you. Mr. Johnson, Mr. Chair, Mr. Johnson, what are you dealing with in terms of assessments right now on average?
Mr. Johnson.
Well, it varies greatly for the size of the co-op. It's based on your annual sales. And I will say that there has been some assessment fatigue among co-ops this year. There was an unusually large true-up from the regular assessment from the Department of Commerce, as well as an assessment for the first time in many years for the Legislative Energy Commission. And this was actually the first year that I've heard a handful of complaints from co-ops about all of the assessments that they've experienced this year.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Johnson. Any other questions for this testifier? Thank you, Mr. Johnson. Representative Beard, you said you'd like to hear from Mr. Grant?
Mr. Chair, that would be helpful to the committee, I believe.
Yes.
I'd certainly like that.
Mr. Grant.
Sorry for putting you on the spot.
Thank you very much for coming on up to the table.
Thank you,
Representative Beard.
Mr. Chair, I'm sorry. I thought Mr. Grant had some prepared remarks right out of the chute, but if he doesn't, I'm going to think up a question that's going to go something like this. We have given your office authority to levy several different assessments on the electric utilities, or read that, the customers of electric utilities across the state, and I know the LEC has just recently come up with one. This is one we're going to expand, I believe, from 500 to... 450 to 980 from where it is now. Do you think this is going to cover that? How are you going to spend that? Talk about the ongoing costs that my friend Mr. Miser has described in maintaining a software that, to the average layperson, looks like you should do it once and it should be out there, but apparently it's going to need constant attention and tweaking. Can you speak to us about that and help us understand why we should be comfortable with another $500,000 a year going to this company?
Mr. Grant.
Mr. Chairman and Representative Beard, first of all, just to clarify, this is not the department's bill. That said, we have been developing and maintaining the with in cooperation with Energy Savings Platform, the software that's been described to you. Mm-hmm. We've been using money from the CARD program, the SIP Research and Development Program, that was adopted, I believe, in 2007. That's a program for which we typically receive utility and other requests for research projects on the order of 4 to 5 to 1 in terms of the amount of money that's available in the fund. So from our perspective, there is a desire to move this assessment for this particular work outside of the CARD program and to make that money more available for the projects that utilities and others really would like us to be pursuing. Does that address your question, Representative Beard?
Thank you, Mr. Grant. Representative Beard?
Mr. Chairman, it does. It helps shed more light on the issue, and that's what I'm after here. I know I'm a co-author on the bill. I'm fond of Mr. Meiser and his work. That he's a constituent is coincidental to the whole thing as far as I'm concerned. But that it actually could do useful work as long as we're going to impose the CIP program of 1.5% reduction in demand every year going forward. We should at least know that we're all measuring with the same measuring stick, and knowing what's going into the equation is also very important, hence my last question to Mr. Meiser, because sometimes we can make these up with unicorn stuff, you know, and I'm more interested that it's actually real stuff, and I think these questions are being addressed and will be helpful as the bill moves forward, that other people know there's a level of concrete reality here that we can work with. I guess that's just the end of my comments. Not really a question, Mr. Chair, but thank Mr. Grant for his comments.
Thank you, Representative Beard. Thank you, Mr. Grant.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Are there any other member questions for any of our testifiers or the sit-in author of the bill? Anybody else want to testify? It looks like no. Well, Madam Chair, then would you like to renew your motion?
I would renew my motion that House file we were just talking about.
I'll take care of that. I'll take care of that for you. Representative Horvin renews her motion that House File 2967, as amended, be referred to the Committee on Commerce and Consumer Protection, Finance, and Policy. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. The motion prevails. We have a minutes to approve. Would you like to move the minutes of March 18, Representative Horvin?
I have not read them, so I'm not certain that there
is there
are no
someone who would like
errors.
To move the minutes of March 18?
Representative Mason
would like to move the minutes of March 18. Any questions? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed say no. Motion prevails. Representative Horvin, do we have anything else today?
We do not.
No announcements? Mr. Strohmeyer, any announcements?
Mr. Chair, I could announce that we are going to be forming an energy omnibus because anybody who sat through a House floor debate on energy policy knows that it's one of those activities that's better done once rather than multiple times. And so we will be putting all the non-controversial bills that this committee has approved on one bill. Understanding, of course, that non-controversial is in the eye of the beholder. And we will construct that on Thursday morning between 8:30 and however long it takes. And we will post as soon as we have a draft of what we think that will look like on the committee webpage.
Thank you, Representative Hortman. Then we are adjourned.